Time to take a look at some consumer protection issues and some privacy protection issues today with our two guests. Janet Jenkins, is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. She's joined by Dave Totter. David runs the Office of Privacy Protection at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So I think we've got lots to talk about with them, and certainly if you have some issues you want to bring up as we move along, we hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Janet, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Dave Totter, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning.
Let's talk about vacation time first, because, you know, in vacation time, you're a little more carefree, and that's not the time to be carefree, especially when it comes to the potential for having your identity stolen.
That's right. Dave, do you want to talk about some tips?
Sure. Identity theft is a growing crime throughout the country, and when you're on vacation, you got to be really careful what you're carrying with you. For example, do you know what's in your wallet? Do you know what you're carrying in your purse? You don't want to take any more than what you really need for your trip. Take a good, solid look at what you have and make photocopies, keep a record someplace when you're on vacation in the event it's stolen or lost, so you know exactly what's been taken. Also, you never should carry your Social Security number with you. It's a very dangerous thing to do.
I tell you what, my billfold normally looks like George Costanza's billfold from Seinfeld. You know, it's so thick. I usually take it out of my pocket when I'm sitting here on the air. But when I go on vacation, I literally everything comes out of it. And a lot of times I'm feeling in my back pocket wondering what happened to my billfold. But just having the one credit card and I have to have a driver's license there because I drive often when I'm on. But I try to keep it to a minimum, and I guess that's the right thing to be doing.
Right. And you want to carry the minimal amount of credit cards with you, only the ones that you really need. Try to avoid carrying debit cards, you know, where somebody could steal it and tap into your, you know, existing money. And when you're using laptops, for example, you know, if you have your own laptop, it's a lot safer. But if you're going into like a cafe, for example, where there are pieces of technology available now where they can actually keylog and record every single keystroke that you make, and that would include your PIN numbers. So you got to be very careful what you use out there when it comes to computers.
So computers, yeah, and I guess I would be worried about. As you say, worried about going, I certainly wouldn't go and check my bank balance in one of those places. And how do you really know whether or not a place is secure?
You really don't. And that's why, if you can carry your own laptop, that's the safest bet. But if you're going to be using a wireless system, for example, you're really never sure that you're going to be completely safe from predators. They're out there and they have the technical savvy to steal information.
Janet, what are some of the other things that are going on these days in the fraud privacy protection area?
Well, there are lots of them. You know, we continue to see a lot of phishing scams, which most people and most of the listeners will know are where someone pretends to be like your bank or the IRS. Those continue. They get more sophisticated. They continue to look like they're real, and they continue to suck people in. And so, again, you know, no one should respond to a phishing website, even if it looks real. Go off the website. If it pretends to be from your bank, for example, Google your bank and contact them directly to make sure that there's no problem. So that's a big one.
One I saw that was kind of interesting to me was the 1 cent deposit scam. And that was, could you explain that one for us?
Sure. What happens there is that the given computers and how fast they are, people will generate a random string of the right number of numbers to constitute a bank account number on a check. And what they'll do then is they'll electronically deposit one penny in all of the bank accounts that their computer has generated, most of them will come back as that's not a legitimate bank account. But they do hit on occasion, and that means they now have a person's bank account, and they will. So using the 1 cent is to test whether this is a real bank account or not, and once they know it's real, then they'll start draining it.
So you should be checking your bank statements or maybe going online and checking your statement. If you see a one penny deposit,
call the bank.
Call
immediately.
The bank right away.
See anything weird on your bank account, on your statement, call your bank right away.
Dale in La Crosse, let's go to you. Dale, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the program.
Sure.
Last month, traveled from Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, and on my return home, purchasing gas at a service station in Dubuque, my Discover card would not process. So I used another card to pay for it, and I came home, started to call the credit card company, and they were calling me, telling me that they had stopped processing all of my requests because there was some suspicious activity. And the activity was is that someone had purchased, wanted to know if I shopped at Walmart recently, and I said no. I had $560 of charges at Walmart in South Carolina.
Oh.
And in two different places in South Carolina. The only place that I surrendered my card, really, was at restaurants. All the other times, the card was in my presence, and I still had the card. So I'm, how do they do that? And why would Walmart process my account unless someone dummied up a card?
Dave Totter, what about it?
Well, from what I'm hearing, if you're only had your business at the restaurant, there's a possibility that you could have had your credit card skimmed. There's a device that's out there that you can get for about $70 that a thief can, you know, if they're a waiter or a waitress, they can take your credit card, skim it, and they'll save that information off your magnetic strip and take it home and actually make an identical counterfeit card and go out and shop at Walmart. That's
okay.
One possibility.
Okay. But this particular one was charged in Walmart in South Carolina, and we had never been there.
Yeah, okay.
Which made that kind of unusual. But it is possible for them then to make dummy cards by skimming it. So at a restaurant, we just don't give our card to the waitress then?
Well, you have to be careful and see if you can. If you lose sight of your card, you don't know where it's been used.
So, understand that, right?
I know in the United Kingdom now, they're actually bringing those devices out to the table, and the waiter is actually skimming it right in front of the customer. That may be something that we may be seeing in the future.
Okay, we're just curious as to how that all could happen when we didn't lose the card, and the only place that it could have been stolen was probably at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So there's a device for doing that.
Right, and in Wisconsin, you can if you believe you're a victim of identity theft, you could actually put a credit freeze on your credit reports.
Okay.
That way no one can open up any new accounts. However, that does not protect your existing accounts. You need to contact your bank and notify them that you've been a victim.
Well, in this case, the credit card company stopped it, sent me a new card, and they followed up quickly, and there were no charges held against me in terms of what was charged.
Right, and you still should report it to your local law enforcement agency so that there's a record of this situation, because you just don't know down the road somebody could actually use your name and commit a crime, and there could be a warrant out for your arrest, and next time you get stopped on the road for a speeding ticket, you end up in handcuffs. So,
I will do that right away.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, thanks, Dale. Thanks a lot for calling. And I suppose that, if I don't know what state Dale was in on vacation, but let's say somebody's in North Dakota, they get the information from him, and I suppose if they have some Confederates or friends or somebody in North Carolina or South Carolina, they could zip that information to them so that the charges wouldn't appear in the area where the theft was actually made.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Larry, because there's a huge black market in information. Our information can be sold and is sold everywhere. And so you can't determine, it doesn't matter. I mean, it could be used in a different country, let alone in in the United States or Wisconsin. So, you know, it can be used anywhere once your information is stolen, because people sell it, and those people will in turn sell it to somebody else after they've used it for a while, who will in turn sell it. Keeps going on,
yeah. Talking consumer protection and privacy protection issues today with Janet Jenkins and David Totter of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. If you have a question or something that's happened to you, that was a terrible story to hear from Dale, but unfortunately it happens a lot. Maybe you have a question about something questionable that might have happened to you or could happen to you, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Now, my understanding is the biggest source of gripes from consumers last year were telemarketers.
Yes.
Calling people on the no-call list.
Yes.
That's still going on.
It is still going on. Some of the complaints we get, though, are not legitimate in the sense that they're being called by charities. In 06, fall of 06, they were being called by people who were running for office. And those are exempt from the no-call law. But people in Wisconsin so like the no-call law that they let us know whenever they get a call that they don't think they should be getting. But we also still have people who are actually covered by the law who are doing telemarketing. Sometimes they're new to Wisconsin. They say they don't know the law. I think we'll continue always to get a lot of complaints because people just do not want their privacy, their at home, interfered with by calls.
What about, I'll just admit right out here, we got rid of our landline in our home for a variety of reasons, one of which I was really upset. We were upset with our phone company. But we have cell phones, and of course, so far we haven't gotten a single call from anybody who, you know, wasn't supposed to be calling us. What about cell phones on the no-call, or is that going to become an issue?
Well, thus far, what we understand is that the cell phone carriers are resistant to giving out, for example, a directory of cell phone numbers. Mm. In Wisconsin, under the current law, cell phones cannot be on the do not call list. They can on the federal no-call list, and although we think that's weaker than the state law, because we don't cover cell phones at this point, people should definitely sign up for the federal no-call list. You can sign up for both. And in addition, there is a bill in the legislature that would add cell phones to the no-call list.
And how does one sign up for that federal no-call for cell phones? Do you know off the top of your head?
If you go to FTC.gov on the website, you can sign up through their website. I don't have the toll-free number here. But
that's all right. FTC.gov.
That's
pretty easy to remember.
Yep, and there's a button to push that talks about sign up for the no-call list.
All right. Well, we've got lots of callers online, so we better go back to the phones. We'll do that in just a minute. Janet Jenkins and Dave Totter, our guests from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking consumer protection and privacy protection issues today with Janet Jenkins, Administrator in the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Dave Totter, also of the department, who runs the Office of Privacy Protection. So pleased to have them along, and again, join us if you have some questions for them. Gary in Eau Claire, I believe, is next. So let's go to Gary. Hi, Gary. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks.
Say, I had something happen just yesterday that really frustrated me. I had a credit card, and I had paid off the balance in June, but I had not in May. I had interest charges in June. I went to my credit card to pay it off the other day again and pay my balance off, and it had interest on it. And I called them and said, gee, how come I got interest? And he says, well, you have to pay your card off 2 months in a row, or we charge you interest for both months. And I said, where is that in the fine print in my contract with you? And while it's in there, you know. And so anyway, I said, well, geez, I don't need this card. I'm just going to cancel it. You know, I don't, and I'll pay off the balance, and which I did. But I had to, they immediately canceled my card. All my billings are online. And they immediately canceled the card, and I couldn't go online and pay it anymore. And I couldn't access the account. They wouldn't let me access the account at all. And I said, well, my balance is due on August 6th. I want this paid. Well, we'll have to send you a bill in the mail. And, of course, then I had to get interest charges and late fee charges and everything. So I did a check by phone, which they charge $14.95 for. I mean, it was really frustrating. And it's like these credit card companies, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I canceled my card. I said, I'm not dealing with people like this.
Well, let's get a comment from our guests. Janet, you want to take that?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that there's any Wisconsin law that would tell you, would govern this for the most part. I mean, if it's in your contract, by and large, your agreement with your credit card is in the fine print.
Yeah.
And I don't know of any prohibitions against what they did. Not to say that what they did is appropriate, because
right.
clearly it's very unconsumer or consumer unfriendly. But I don't know of any Wisconsin laws off the top that I can think of. Dave, do you know of any?
No, I don't. But as painful as it can be, you really should take some time and read those terms and conditions.
Yeah.
They can be very complicated. They're written by lawyers. But there can be a lot of, I mean, what he says he got from his credit card company could very well be true. And he wasn't aware of the terms and conditions. Also, that can, when it comes to identity theft, for example, if there's one credit card terms and conditions where it says if you allowed someone else to use your credit card, that they, you know, you are liable. So if that happens once and that person ends up stealing or taking money out of your account later on, the credit card company may hold you responsible personally as, you know, as the person that owes the money.
Oh. It's a bad situation, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I guess it's frustrating that they can do that. Yeah, I mean, I signed up for this card online, and when I did this, and I mean, you know, you're right. There are terms and conditions. I printed one of them out one time, 25 pages printed out on my computer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, my Lord, and if you miss anything, it's like, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, they just nail you. And
yeah.
I just...
They do it on purpose, so you won't read it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I guess it's really frustrating that they're allowed to do that. I mean, it's like, I mean, this company's out of South Dakota, and it seems like, you know, they can do anything they want, and it's
it's too bad, but that's the way our laws read right now, and I'm sorry about it, Gary. Thank you for calling. Nancy and Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have a question about the credit cards the plastic keys that you're given when you check into a hotel now that has the electronic strip on the back. Mm. Somebody told me that all of your personal information is on that card and that you should destroy it rather than return it or throw it away. Is that correct?
No, it's not. We've been monitoring that. I actually have a piece of equipment that I've been getting these cards from people that have donated them to me to just take a look at. There's nothing on there. There's no personal information that I found to date. However, we have discovered that there are some veteran cards from the service, that there's some actual personal information, including your Social Security number, can be on some of these. So you don't want to have those laying around.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Pete in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Pete.
Hi. Good morning, Larry. Hey, I have much better news. I have a Visa card that was issued by a retail establishment.
Uh-huh.
And when I talked to security there, they offered a tip that I wanted to share with the listeners. And that was their security department says never sign a credit card, but mark the thing check ID in the signature box. And that seems to work because, you know, for the clerks that look at it, and a lot of them don't, so I think I have to mark that check ID on the front side as well, they immediately ask for a driver's license. And I think that's an important thing because otherwise the card is pretty good to go, you know, as far as retail theft goes, because if the signature is on it, the perpetrator knows what the signature is supposed to look like. So they suggest do not mark the credit, do not sign the credit card, but mark a check ID. And then the other thing security does there They're real quick to notice something out of the ordinary for me. And they said, well, if I'm traveling somewhere, just let them know ahead of time, approximate dates and states that I'll be going through, and then they don't shut down the credit card. But otherwise, they've shut it down pretty fast before as far as unusual activity. And I like that. So, but if I tell them where I'm going, then I don't have that inconvenience while I'm traveling.
Oh,
right. When you put check photo ID or something close to that on the back of your card rather than signing it, then you have to produce your driver's license or some form of ID. That works fine for most retail establishments, except I am aware that if you go to the post office and you want to use your credit card, they want that signature on the back of that card or they will not let you use that card.
Huh.
So yeah. There's one exception there.
What, too? I found that Amtrak also requires the credit card to be physically signed. So I ended up paying cash for a ticket on Amtrak. But otherwise, I think it's been helpful.
Yeah,
so
thanks a lot.
And also, if someone gets a false driver's license, it's not going to help at all.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly right.
Thanks, Pete. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it very much. Good tip there. Derek in Madison, your turn. Hi, Derek.
Hi. I got two questions that I hope are kind of related. One has to do with the no-call list for phone calls. I've heard that a similar type of thing is going to be available for what we call bulk business mail or standard mail. It's the advertisements, special offers for credit cards. So my question is, two-part question on that is there something like that available, and how insecure or secure are those applications sitting in your mailbox if somebody was to get a hold of it, especially the ones with your pre-printed name on it?
They're very insecure. We have seen credit card companies actually issue credit cards based on applications that are torn up, pasted back together, the address that was on it crossed out and a new one put in. So it seems that at least for some credit card issuers, they're not looking at all. So it is dangerous to leave those things unshredded or even in your mailbox. The way to handle that, which works surprisingly well, is what the website is opt-out, OPTOUT, prescreen.com, all one, opt-out, prescreen. That will take you to a website where for 5 years, you can do it right online, is sign up and say you don't want any of those credit card offers anymore. You can do it permanently by responding and filling out an application and sending it in the mail. This is a voluntary service provided by many of the credit card issuers who say, yep, if people tell us they don't want them, we won't send them. Not all of them are part of it, but I did it a couple of years ago, and it cut down my pre-approved credit card offers by at least 90%. So that's a good way to do it.
Great. I'm also concerned about the impact to the environment because, so that just includes credit cards, but that doesn't include any other business offers, right?
Well, you can also go to, if you Google the Direct Marketing Association, they too have a way of opting out of mail, offers you get from retailers and things like that. I don't find it, I've done that also, I don't find it as effective, but it has cut down on the things I get, the junk mail I get, by some anyway.
Good, because my recycling bin has moved closer, farther away from my desk and closer to the front door where I sort out my mail, and I just grab it and boom, 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 there it goes right in, and
yep.
It's just too much every year. So, yeah, I appreciate those concerns.
Pre-approved credit card offers are very dangerous. We've had many instances where someone will steal it and will fill out an application it's your name, and put a forwarding address on it, or they may just use your mailbox until they get the credit card. And you're not aware of that because, of course, it's mail that you weren't expecting, and not until you go to finance your home or buy a car do you find out that someone else has got a credit card in your name.
Yeah. And when you get them, you literally have to shred them, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Kevin in Elkhorn, it's your turn next. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to pose a couple of scenarios for you and just kind of get your general reactions. And this may be a little bit too involved, but it's something that has really come to rankle me. I think that this entire credit score, credit record is one of the biggest scams being perpetrated on American citizens. And there's actually three parts that I take great offense to. One is that these reporting agencies, TransUnion, Equifax, and the other one, are able to gather your personal financial information. I mean, just that aspect alone. They gather all of your personal and financial information. I'm of the probably antiquated opinion that your personal information is just that, your personal information. And the fact that these people can gather all that information on you and compile it into a particular database is outrageous to me.
Well, let's get a response from Janet Jenkins on that.
Well, I understand your concern, but the main purpose of credit reporting agencies, like it or not, is to enable businesses with which you want to do business, particularly business on credit, can determine whether or not you're a credit risk. So it's this: if there weren't credit reporting agencies or some entity that had some of this information, your bank wouldn't know whether to give you a mortgage, a car loan, or whatever.
And utilizing the credit reporting agencies by getting your free credit report every year, you can find out if there's somebody messing around with your identification. If somebody take out, a bank account or car in your name, it's one-stop shopping. If you go to annualcreditreport.com, you can get a free credit report from all three credit reporting agencies each year.
Annualcreditreport.com. Okay. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate the call. Earl and Brown Deer, it's your turn. Hi, Earl.
Good morning, Larry. And I have a question for your guest to see if they are familiar with what is called the universal default law. I had that on one of my credit cards a few years ago, and I immediately dropped that card. It's a law that says if you are late on any one payment of any card or any bill that you owe, the credit companies or banks can charge you the ultimate interest that they're allowed to charge on every account you have, even if you've kept all those other accounts up to date. And I just wondered if your guest can give us any enlightenment on that and see if I have it correct or not.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling, Earl. Janet, what about it?
Earl, I have heard of that happening. I'm not sure it's a law. It's certainly not a Wisconsin law that governs it. And I don't think it's a federal law, although I have to confess I'm not positive of that. But certainly, since most issues between a credit card issuer and their customer are what's in the contract, what's in the terms and conditions, we do know and we have heard that some will say if you're late on anything, you'll go to the maximum interest rate on the credit card.
On everything.
On everything.
So that's probably then part of the... that 25 pages of fine print that you can get if you actually print it offline.
Exactly.
For some companies. Okay. So it's not a law, but probably part of an agreement that you sign not even knowing.
Yeah. Right.
Jill in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I got a credit card, an airline credit card for the 3 miles, and I requested just a $1,000 limit so that I could always pay it off. I got rid of all my credit card debt and I want to try and keep it that way, but I wanted to be able to, get miles. And I charged it up to pretty near its max, and then I was on a trip, and then I came home and I paid it off, and then I had to take I had to buy an airline ticket. I wasn't planning on really, and I went to try and charge it on this credit card, and it was a few days after I paid it off, and I had a zero balance, but they wouldn't let me use the card when I tried to. I tried on buying my airline ticket online, and it wouldn't process, and so I called the company, and they said, yes, they have 7 to 10 business days where my bank could call back the money that they had given, even though it was out of my account, through the Federal Reserve System. And I just never heard of that before.
Well, I do know, Jill, that that the banking system in the United States has a variety of components, and it takes some time for some things to work their way through all the components. I'm certainly not anywhere near an expert on that topic at all. But it does seem, I gather what you're saying is that you had paid it, but it didn't show up to the airline as being paid yet?
No, actually, I actually did a transfer from my bank. I do all my banking online.
Yep.
And it had been paid to the credit card company, and the credit card company said I had a zero balance on that card, but that I only had like $18 available to use, and they said it was going to take about 2 weeks, basically, before I'd be able to use that card. Now, I do actually have a different credit card that I was able to use, so it wasn't, like, too much of a problem, but I had just never heard of that before. The money was out of my account, and the credit card was paid off, but I just hadn't heard of that before.
So the credit card company was telling you essentially that, well, because the bank could take that money back from us, for 7 to 10 days or whatever it is, we're waiting until we're sort of like, it'd be like if you send a check, we're going to wait for the check to clear before we give you any money or give you any more credit, I guess is what it is.
Right. And Jill's very wise about keeping a smaller limit on your credit cards, only the amount that you really need. Credit card companies have a habit of raising that limit and raising it and raising it. And, they'll start sending you checks in the mail where you can, because they like you to charge, so they're going to give you any kind of opportunity possible to use that credit card. But the higher the limits you get, the more susceptible you are to somebody gets a hold of it and wants to steal your identity. They can steal a lot of money in a short period of time.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
And Mark in Colfax, your turn next. Hi, Mark.
I got a phone call the other day that said that one of my cards was about to expire and that if I wanted to lower my interest rate, I needed to press 1 now or press 2 if I wasn't interested in the offer. I pressed 1. I mean, this was a recording. I pressed 1, and somebody came on and said, "Do you want to lower your interest rate?" And I immediately thought that, I was afraid they wanted to record me saying yes. So I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And they hung up on me. So then I checked my caller ID, and the number on there was some really weird numbers. They weren't even in the order they should be in order to call somebody back. Is this from a foreign country and some scam to get a credit card number from me?
Boy, when you get a call out of the blue from who's going to be calling you and offering a service, it's very dangerous. Could be just a crook out there trying to get your personal information. So, and also when it comes to caller ID, you can't rely on that today. There's a company now online that for $20 you can get what they call a spoof card, where you can actually, you can actually put down on somebody's phone caller ID, Social Security Administration, for example, or your local bank. It can be identified as someone else. So You know, you gotta be really careful, especially when somebody calls you out of the blue.
Mm.
They even allow you to change your voice if you're a female to sound like a male, or if you're a male to sound like a female.
Oh man.
Okay, Mark. So this is something that you know, like.
Stay away
like
from.
That comes, just hang up on them.
Exactly. Right. Best thing you can do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. And Dick in Minocqua. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling. I started getting a call about 2 months ago from a bill collector on an old cell phone that I used to have in 2004, and I switched to a different company. And as far as I know, I took care of my contract with the old company, and I don't remember or recall having any correspondence with them as far as me not being paid in full as far as my contract and all that goes. And now I'm receiving calls from this bill collecting agency saying that that I still owe them money. And we're talking about 3 years ago. Now, how do I, and it's already, apparently it's already gone to collections because a bill collector is calling me. So now it's on my credit report, and how do I dispute that? I mean, they say I can dispute it, but it's already on my credit report.
Yeah.
Well, with respect to what may have happened, believe it or not, cell phone numbers are reassigned. Did you get a different cell phone number when you got your new cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that it may have been reassigned to someone, and that person was using your old number, and there was some glitch with the phone company. I think what you want to try and do, Dick, is not deal with the bill collector initially, but go directly to your former phone company.
Okay.
And talk with them, tell them the issue, say, you know, you paid all your bills. You know, I don't know if you paid them by check or how you paid them, but if you paid by check, you may very well have the canceled checks. They can certainly generate the bills.
Okay.
And so they can look it up for you.
And as far as your, you know, your bad mark on your credit report, you can contact the credit reporting agency, and they will allow you to submit a dispute in writing regarding that particular issue. So it'll be part of your complete package.
And how would you do that? Is there go online to do that, or
he can contact them directly? And most of the time, they require an affidavit, so you'd have to fill out an affidavit disputing mm-hmm. the charge, and it'll be added as part of his report.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Here we are about out of time. If people have questions or have a gripe, I know you've got an 800 number, Janet, that people can use.
We do. And it's 1-800-422-7128. You can also contact us online by going to www.datcp.gov, which is the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. That will take you to the main page, and you'll see a button for consumer protection. So either one of those, or stop in at one of our four offices across the state, or send us a letter. The old way.
All those things. Janet, David, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much. We'll look forward to another visit.
Thank you. We'd love to be here.
Janet Jenkins, Administrator in the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. David Totter runs the Office of Privacy Protection for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Certainly we'll have them back and talk some more about consumer protection issues with them and with you. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at fishing and some of those outdoor activities with our professional fisherman and guide, Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.